I'd like to invite us to engage with two words this morning. Two words. One is for, F-O-R. The other word is with, W-I-T-H. For and with. And I'd like to suggest a movement that can be made from for to with and see if that invites us into a deeper understanding of who we're called to be. I'll get back to that in a second. I'm very much drawn this morning to our reading from the book of Isaiah, a really wonderful reading. And I want to give you a little bit of context for this reading today. You know, I think many times we come to church on Sunday and we hear a reading from Scripture, and we just sit there and it just kind of, what is that all about? You know, where did this go on? Who's talking to who? What's the message? What's the context of this? And I want to do that for you a little bit this morning. But let me give you the broader history of things and give you a real sense of where this is happening. You know the history of our ancestors in faith, the nation of Israel, our Jewish brothers and sisters. Remember the story. Moses leads the people out of slavery in Egypt. Remember that? They wander for 40 years in the desert. They get to the promised land. Remember that story? They get to the promised land, and Moses dies, and Joshua brings them into the promised land. And I think it's important to realize, I oftentimes say this, that when they went into the promised land, it wasn't like a ribbon-cutting ceremony. It wasn't like, welcome, here it is. When they got to the promised land, as they understood it, there were nations there. There were people living there. And so after Joshua come the great leaders called the judges, who were actually military leaders, who led these chosen people into battle, into war, to take this land that they interpreted to be their land. And that's a whole part of the story of our Jewish ancestors. Eventually, they settle there. They build a great nation. They build a temple. There are kings, King David, King Solomon, who we hear about. Great kingdom. But what happens, generally speaking, is as they begin to rise with power and wealth and influence, they begin to lose a sense of who God is in their lives. And that's the time that the great prophets arise. The great prophets are the ones who come about and remind the folks of who they are. Remind the folks of God's presence in their lives, which they seem to be forgetting as they're taken with their power and their wealth, and focusing on being dominant in their world. Eventually, this great kingdom collapses. It's divided into north and the south. That's a lot more history than we need to get into, but the nation collapses, and they're taken over by the Babylonians. They come in and destroy this great nation. And the folks are taken out of the land, and they're in exile in Babylonia. And for the Jewish people, the temple is where God lives. The land was given them by God, and they're no longer there. They're in exile. Where is God in the midst of all this? They cry out. Some of the great psalms in the Bible come from this time of the Babylonian exile. There's that one psalm, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept, remembering Zion. By the poplars that grew there, we hung up our harps. Who could sing the song of our land in an alien soil?" That sense of longing, that sense of being separated from God. Eventually, they come back to the land. The exile ends. And they come back and they begin to want to build a kingdom again. But as they build this kingdom, they wonder where God is. Why did this exile happen? And we're going to do things to get God to love us again. What is it about God's separateness from us? After the Babylonian exile. This is where our reading comes in today. The reading that we just read from Isaiah. So lots of chapters about this part of it, but this is where it comes in today. And it's important to know this, that the book of Isaiah, most folks believe it's kind of like three books. There's the book of Isaiah, then there's what's called 2nd Isaiah, which are certain chapters in there, that seem to be written by folks reflecting on the prophet Isaiah. And there's another section called 3rd Isaiah, which is from chapters 56 to 66. It's a big book, 66 chapters in this book of Isaiah. Well, it's that 3rd Isaiah that we're reading from today. Isaiah was a prophet in the 700s. But what we're talking about in this post-Babylonian exile are the 500s. It's a couple hundred years later. And so the author of this writing is reflecting back on the great influence of Isaiah, reflecting back on the message of Isaiah, and bringing it to the time during the 500s. And here's what's going on. The people, this is a very specific little reading today. The folks are fasting. It's a traditional religious practice. The Jewish folks would fast when they were mourning. There were times when they would fast. So they are fasting, giving up food, but not quite understanding why God is not hearing them. Why are things not changing the way they want to? How come God's not reaching out to them? And there's this great message in the reading today where the prophetic voice of God saying, you fast, you practice your piety for yourselves. What difference are you making in the world through your fasting? Oftentimes, you know, fasting, it's easy to fast if you have an abundance because you can give up what you don't need, really. But what the message of the prophet is saying is, I want to see a fast that changes the life of the poor. I want to see a fast that changes the life of the oppressed. I want to see a fast that changes the lives of the homeless. When fast from those things that truly engage you with the world and change what is around you, then I will hear your fasting. That's what the reading is about today. When we can give up the things that keep us from the poor, that keep us from the other, that separate us from others. The message today of Isaiah is not so much what you do for yourself or for others, but what can you do with the other? Engage and come to know the other and change the life of the other. When you give up, can you also give to the other? That changes lives. It's not so much what can we do for, which is a good thing. This isn't about either or. This is about both and. Hear the difference in the question if I say to you, what can I do for you? Or if I say, what can I do with you? Do you hear the difference? When you say with, both of us together discover something new. When I say, what can I do for you? There can be below that an idea that I have something that you don't. Let me know what it is and I'll give it to you. But when we enter into what can we do together, what can I do with you, not only do we have something to give to the other, but the other has something to give to us. And together we discover that. That's really what I'm hearing in this reading from Isaiah this morning. This call to be with the other so that our lives are totally changed. And what the prophet is really sharing, that God will hear that prayer. That is true fasting. That is true change. Not only for oneself, but for the other as well. And so I've been reflecting on where do we see that in our own lives, in our own parish life here at St. Paul's. And the one ministry that came right to my mind is our Refuge for Refugee ministry, where we began this ministry just not quite a year ago. And in 1 year, we've welcomed three refugee families to our community. A family from Afghanistan, a family from Burma, a family from Somalia. Thank goodness that Somalian family got here in time. And we began to talk about what can we do for these folks as they arrive. And what I've seen us do over this year, as folks have engaged with these families, what we do for them, we prepare an apartment, we buy food, we get them settled. You know, it engaged us with our Muslim community here, the Carrie Islamic Association, who had folks from Afghanistan. We welcomed our Afghanistan family. And together, we worked together to prepare food and recipes and to prepare the apartment. Together, we welcomed this family to the Raleigh-Durham area. But I've noticed our folks that are involved in this ministry that as we've welcomed these folks, we've begun to be with them. And we've begun to be called into a deeper relationship. How can we, as we relate with these folks, helping them navigate transportation in our area, how to navigate shopping in supermarkets, how to find employment, how to enable their children to kind of find a place to be in our culture, to help folks learn a language. That's what happens when we're with each other. And that's an example of what I've seen here at St. Paul's in that particular ministry. Also, our ministry of Habitat for Humanity, where we join with a family, and together we build a home together and be in relationship together. That's the message that I hear today in this reading, particularly from Isaiah, and the call for us to be with the other. And in with being with the other, sure, we're doing things for the other, but the other's doing things for us as well. And that movement from just doing for to doing with is a powerful message that we need to hear, I think. And that's the message in the gospel. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We're called to be this salty presence in our world, to add to the conversation, to add taste and flavor. We're called to be the light in a world that sometimes can seem so dark, that we can be this light as we engage with each other, engage with folks beyond us. So as we gather together today during this season of Epiphany that calls us to be the light of the world, may we truly be that light. May we truly fast in a way that changes the lives of others. Can we give up the things that keep us separate from the other? Can we give up things that influence the lives of others and truly make a difference? Let us be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and let us reflect on that, particularly during this season of Epiphany.